and thine own soul a sword shall pierce. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This first Friday of April, just 1 week before Good Friday, we pause to contemplate the sorrows of Mary. On the last of our Lenten evenings together for this year of grace. So many motives there are as to why God would permit his mother to suffer so. Far, far more reasons than there are swords to be counted in her heart. There are only seven there. And yet the sorrows of Mary are beyond counting. And thine own soul, old Simeon says, at the first of her seven sorrows, a sword shall pierce. These words are said at the presentation in the temple when Mary and Joseph come to offer the little child in obedience to the eternal Father as a sacrifice for our sins. And Simeon takes the child, and the Holy Ghost speaks through him. This child, he says, looking at the baby in all of his beauty, this child is set for the rise and for the fall of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted. Then he turns his old eyes upon the virginal face of Mary and says to her, and thine own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. And then the Holy Ghost sings through him the Nunc Dimittis, now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast set before the face of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. Why must her soul be pierced with a sword of sorrow? And why must it be announced this day, only 40 days after she gave birth in sheer ecstatic joy to her son, who is also God's son? We sing during August each year one very likely reason. Mother of God, do you remember the words? He broke thy heart that it might wider be, that there would be room there for you and for me. If he broke Our Lady's heart, it was a bit like Mary's counterpart, Mary Magdalene, who just before Holy Week came to our Lord again when he was at dinner with an alabaster vase sealed at the top. There was no way to pour out its perfume, with a long, slender, beautiful neck. Now remember, the fathers of the church say that Mary is the neck of the mystical body. That is to say that all graces pass through her. And Mary Magdalene, without a second thought, broke the fragile neck of that vase and poured out its ointment, and the whole house was filled with the smell of its perfume. So did Our Lady bend her neck and submit her life with her heart and her soul to be broken for God's will to be done. This is the way of God. Francis Thompson asks, why must thou char the stick before thou writest with it? Mary's heart, you see, is hidden and almost, I want to say, trapped within. And there it is, full of light, that light of revelation for the Gentiles. It's full of light because the empire of sin, it had never been there. And so at this season during Lent, the church kneels down after each of the hours of the divine office, and we salute Mary, Ave Regina Caelorum. We sing, Hail, thou Queen of the heavens, Hail, thou the gate, and thou the root from which this light is risen. There is all of this light within her heart, and I think of it as being pierced with Simeon's sword, with all of those sorrows, a bit as St. Augustine sees the side of Christ pierced by the lance of Longinus. And in the office of the Sacred Heart, we read, No, the soldier didn't pierce our Lord's side, Augustine corrects the evangelist. He opened it. The sword did not pierce Mary's heart, her soul. It opened it. Opened, yes, so that all of this golden light could come cascading out into the darkness of our days, to shed God's light everywhere. But at what a price? At what a price? So that out of many hearts, thoughts might be revealed. Our Lady is a living revelation of God and of the things of God in the darkness of our lives. The adorable Trinity, the attributes of the Godhead, our Lord's mercy, God's condescension to us, his closeness to creatures, and all of his characteristic ways, all of these things we know by the light which he created to shine on and from Mary. God's perfections in and of himself, we understand them better in the light of the woman he chose to be his mother, his dealings with creatures, the way of redeeming grace, how it works, the possibilities of holiness, the inventiveness, Father Faber says, of divine love, and his intimate inward walk with souls that seek him out. All of these are read in the lamp light of Mary's soul, and her light is not extinguished in the night. Thus, too, does Mary reveal for you and for me the mystery of suffering in the light of her own grief. Whoever possibly could doubt it, suffering gives us our one chance at being close to Christ. In every other thing of our lives, we fail. But can we not at least claim this as cause for closeness to the crucified? Suffering in this life, not as great as his, not as prolonged as hers, but suffering nevertheless. Think of it, how close this brings the multitude of men to Jesus. If only they knew it, and if only they knew Mary, how many souls would be saved which are otherwise lost. Almost every heart on this earth at this moment is a sanctuary of some secret sorrow. Now I grant you, many of those sanctuaries are sealed up, and others unattended, and no lamps burn, and no prayers are offered there. But it is a sanctuary, and a sanctuary calls out for the All Holy One, for the presence of God. If only most people knew they are that close to God at that moment, when finally some people remember to call upon Him. Oh God, they'll say, or they'll say a quick prayer of desperation. Yes, pray on. Pray on, you're so close now. Now is your time. Redeem your life for eternity. With some, it is some sharp, fresh grief, like a sword going into a soul. And with others, it is some old suffering which still stings. And with so many, really so many in this world, it is a lifelong suffering, and death alone will give them escape. But for all of us, as again the poet says, nothing begins and nothing ends that is not paid with moan. For we are born in others' pain and perish in our own. And to think of it, that puts us into a sanctuary that classifies us with Christ and with His mother, and makes us so close to God. Suffering. For some it is because of their own sins, it is true. For others it is because of their folly. People say today, I made bad choices. For others yet it is the misconduct, the unkindness of those whom they love. Some misunderstanding that has broken a bond, and it will never, it seems, be healed. In some cases, there are those who suffer for righteousness' sake, and blessed are they, but they will know cruelty all of their days. And others who know not God and know only grief, it seems almost that they suffer without cause, as they suffer without surcease. Now and then, you will come across the burden of a broken heart, so weighed down by woe that it's snapped beneath the pressure of it, and time will never heal it. And some broken heart lies bleeding there, and it needs to be placed in the hands of our Heavenly Father. And Mary is the one who will do this. And he will take care of it as no one else can. We often look, still today, when our manners have become so coarse, so self-centered, we often look to some other person for consolation. And yet, did you ever have occasion in your grief to consider it? How shallow all human consolation is. Not only that many people today don't know how to say a simple, I'm sorry, or I'm so sorry for your suffering, for your trouble. And instead, they launch into some great excursus which gives you no comfort at all. You're kind of shifting your weight there at the funeral home, waiting for it to be done. You might even grow angry. There was a case I read in the paper this week of one of those over 2,000 parents in America the last 3 years who have lost a son or a daughter in that wretched war, a war waged for the purposes of the Jews and for oil, and for horrible ends, which has taken so many young people, and oftentimes good young people, they say, from our midst. And so as the practice is with the army, some officer was dispatched to bring the news to this father and to express the condolences of our country. And the father was so angry at that instant when he heard that his son was dead in one of those awful roadside bombings, which takes so many souls, our side or theirs, each day. He was so angry that he marched right out to the porch and he pulled down the American flag and he ripped it up. And then he went for the stupid yellow ribbon and he ripped that up too. The young soldier who brought the news was shocked and said something about respect for your country's flag and left. And the father filed a complaint to say that the soldier had not stayed to console him. Poor mankind. We know neither how to grieve nor how to give comfort in the grief of another. What do you do when some life-altering, some life-ending, and some lifelong sorrow comes to cast its shadow upon your days? Why, you let Our Lady shine that light from within her heart of revelation to the Gentiles. That's us. From out her soul, from out her immaculate heart. She suffered without ever needing to. She suffered freely and never once seeking human consolation. And she suffered in joy. But most of all, she suffered with Jesus. And in this, at least, we can learn to imitate her. So often, our sorrows, we bring them upon ourselves. They are the fitting punishment for our sins. And then at that point, there is no point of comparison. We are not like Our Lady in this. But are we left alone to bear the burden even of a well-deserved grief? No. No, we are not. Because she will point us to Jesus and to the cross and show us how we can take that pain of ours, well-deserved it may be, to the cross, to the altar, in our sanctuary of sorrow, and to offer it up in union with him on the cross. And he will not despise our pain. No, he will accept it and join it with his own at every Mass. And like Mary, loving and sweet with those who cause our grief, we could be too. We could be, you know, if only we loved her better and thought of her more. We could be like Mary, at least in this, sweet to those who cause our grief. Know this, though, and forget it not. If so many souls walk in unhappiness, if you find your feet on that path, so did they, Jesus and Mary, I mean. Secret sorrow marked their days from the beginning, from the Annunciation, until finally the resurrection. Therefore, with confidence can we go and follow the track of light which leads to her, and seek out this mother of sorrows and ask her to be the mother of your sorrow. Jesus has a special love for those who are unhappy. He has a special love for you. Love him and his mother too, won't you?